The biggest thing is that your family comes first. We teach that and live that.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's up, everybody? Art Eddy here for The Art of Fatherhood podcast and online. I'm very happy to have Clay Walker. Thanks for taking time to chat with me, Clay. How you doing, sir?
It's great being on your art. Thank you very much, man. I've got a truck full of kids. We're headed to the rehearsals for guitar and fiddle.
Nice, man. Living that fatherhood lifestyle to the fullest. Love it. We're going to talk about music, of course, in a second with your great career, but of course want to focus on fatherhood. So for you, what popped into your mind when you found out you were going to be a dad, sir?
Wow. I tell you, it's the, you think you know what it's going to be like, but you don't until the baby actually comes. And it's amazing. You know, at first I had all these anxieties, you know, about being a good dad, you know, not wanting to fail, you know, but when you have kids and you realize you're going to fail all the time, you know, and it sucks, but you know, when you get it right, It feels great. You know, you beat yourself up a few times and pick yourself back up and try to do better. And I think parenting, you know, together in a way that you agree with is really helpful too. You know, it helps you become a better parent.
100% agree, Clay. They always say it takes a village, right, to raise a child. So I appreciate that. And, you know, I think fans of yours from your music and just seeing who you are, especially now with social media, people kind of can get a glimpse more into, you know, someone's life and all that, depending on how much you want to share. But just because you're in the limelight, people probably already know some of the values you and your wife are looking to instill into your kids. But talk about some of those values as you're raising your kids that you want to make sure that you're honing in on.
The biggest thing is that your family comes first. We teach that and live that. You make sure that everyone's needs are met. You know, we also have a lot of fun together. You know, we keep things fun. You know, even some of the serious topics, you know, that are around these days, your kids are going to be exposed to things that you weren't necessarily exposed to as a kid, you know, progression, I guess they call it. And so, you know, it's real important that we teach our kids what our traditional core values are. Let me just put it this way. We do have Christian values, and I'll say that I think that goes a long way in the way that we teach, but I also know that there are other ways, you know, and we want our kids to be aware that there are good people out there who are not Christians, who are different religions, or no religion at all, and you try to let them feel it out, and you teach them to trust their instincts, because I feel that kids have incredible instincts about whether or not someone is good or bad. Yeah. And I've noticed that I've learned from my kids, but mostly I think that as a parent, you want them to have a conscience, and you want them to understand that if you do something even accidentally wrong to someone, that you should immediately try to make up for that, apologize to the person, or accept an apology as well. You know, sometimes it's hard for kids to do that, but that's the way we go.
Love that, Clay. Yeah, I appreciate your thoughts on that, and just, you know, it seems like you're showing your kids, instilling them like just compassion and making sure that maybe if someone doesn't view the same things you do, but just treat them with respect. And I think that's great, especially in today's world. And how has fatherhood influenced the way you maybe look at your career, music, songs? I'm guessing fatherhood has some type of influence with your work.
Oh, it has a great bearing on my work. One, you know, in the songs that I record, but number two is my work ethic. You know, I've always had a strong work ethic. But I think having kids that are now, you know, 10 and almost 12 years old, it really makes me want to do more. You know, when a lot of people in my position may slow down, I want to do more so that my kids can see me working and see me try to achieve success and know that they can reach it. You know, so it really drives me having them. And I've got 4 kids, 11, 10, 7, and 2.
Wow, nice.
And and we've got one on the way, and we haven't told anyone that all.
Congratulations, sir.
Thank you. My wife we just got back from the baby doctor in Houston, and everything is fantastic with the baby. So we're overjoyed.
So happy to hear that. And first of all, that's fantastic. Love hearing that. And then also, too, just kind of going with what you said about people sometimes in their stage of their career might slow down, but you keep going. And when I talk to athletes, something popped in there, what you were saying, where it's like they might not have seen all the work I put in at that time. They might see highlights, but that they might not see everything about it, right? And
that's right.
For you to talk about that, it's very cool because, yeah, like there are some athletes that said, like, I would love for them to see, like, how much work, hard work I put in, not just on Sundays or, you know, in regards to a football player, but just in general, like any athlete being like, you know, they saw maybe something on the court or field, but they didn't see all the work ethic. So for you to, you know, acknowledge that, that is great. And two more questions before we go into your, you know, talking a little bit about your music career and, of course, your latest song, Easy Going. What is, like, maybe the biggest challenge that you face as a father?
You know, I think that's really hard to pinpoint one thing, but I could say that when my kids are afraid of something, no matter what it is, you know, and most of the time it's a decision that they need to make, you know, about a particular thing. Like they're wondering, how should I make this decision? I want it to be their decision, you know, but I know that they need guidance. And I think I fear making a mistake, you know, and that's because they're most impressionable, you know, at the age of, you know, 10 to 12, 13, that age range is really, I would call it an inflection point in their lives. And I just, you know, I want to get it. I want to help them get it right. You know, and I probably worry a lot, you know, about my kids being around in close quarters with other adults. You know, I probably worry a little bit, probably over hyper about that, you know, so I'm protective. And I want my kids to have their innocence, you know, until they don't, you know, and I want that to last as long as possible.
100% agree. I think every generation, our parents' generation, and of course, generations before that, might say the idea of like, oh, you know, our kids grow up way faster than when I was a kid. But I feel now more than ever with tech, with devices and all that other stuff, people are growing up quicker. So spot on with that, sir. And you're a veteran dad. You got you got another one coming on the way, which is great news. This question is perfect for you because you've already been there, but now you're going to experience it again. What is one big piece of advice you'd offer to new dads, sir?
To new dads, I would say I used to have a lot of anxiety. I let that creep into my temper, you know, and just get upset, you know, just internally upset, you know. Not, I've never lost my temper with my children, but you know, just, I would say, man, just don't sweat it, man. When they cry in public, especially, don't get upset about that. Every kid cries.
Yep.
You can't always make it better immediately, no matter what. So I think laughing a lot, you know, I do laugh now at a lot of stuff that I wouldn't have laughed at, you know, when I was a brand new dad. And now I'm just like, whatever, man. And, you know, and also people around you, you know, in restaurants, you know, if this country ever opens back up where we can go eat at a restaurant again, at restaurants, don't freak out when your kid is crying. You know, the people that are giving you dirty looks, you know, that's not someone you'd ever want to be friends with anyway. So why worry about what they're thinking?
Exactly. Well said, man. Yeah, exactly. Because I think you almost, like, I always joke, like, once I became a dad, a few things came kind of innate, or was the dad nod, right? You're at a mall, you're at a restaurant, and a kid, maybe your kid might be, you know, acting up, or the other person's kid might be acting up. You just give the nod, like, yeah, I've been there, man. I know what you're going through. It's all good, right?
One of the things I can say that's very, like, touches my heart a lot is that all of my children have a healthy fear of me. You know, there's a healthy father fear, you know, when mom says, well, I always listen to your voice, you know, and it's, you know, I don't beat my kids. You know, it's just the voice, you know, I guess, because it's deep or whatever. But I do love the fact that my kids will respond to my voice, even at a mild tone, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be a dad. You know, I love being a dad, and I wouldn't have any idea what it's like being a mom, but I can tell you, I would not want to be a mom because they have all the work. I love my wife so much, and I'm sitting here every time I watch her doing things with her kid, I'm just like, thank you, God, for making me a man.
Appreciate you sharing your thoughts on fatherhood. We're going to get a little bit more once we go back to the Fatherhood Quick Five. But I want to talk about your career, sir, and the great music you produce for fans all over the world, man. And your latest song, Easy Going. Talk a little bit about that song, where the inspiration came from that.
I started writing with the new class of writers, I guess you would say, you know. And you know, I've always been a songwriter since I was a teenager. And got to write with a couple of guys, Paul Sykes and Adam Wheeler. We wrote this song called Easy Going. And you know, the inspiration was these strong women. There's women who, you know, they're just their presence, not verbally, just their presence demands that you treat them right, you know. And the premise of this song was, you know, this guy wasn't treating her right, and he made it easy going, you know, easy for her to go, you know.
Yeah.
That was the inspiration for it. And the melody of it, you know, kind of has either a Poco or Eagles vibe to it. You know, just really cool, like retro vibe with new guitar sounds and things. And there's nothing new under the sun. You know, I love to, you know, hear all the haters, you know, talking about, you know, new music and stuff and how they don't like it. And it's like, look, there's nothing new under the sun. You're just packaging it up different.
Yeah.
Than you've heard it before, but it's really the same substance.
Well, you know, you mentioned, you know, new writers, just different sounds that you put in there and all that. Well, I'm listening to the song and I listen to it a few times over and over again, back to back, because when you listen to music and you hear it for the first time, maybe the hook gets you, or the lyrics get you, or just maybe the music in general gets you, right? But
right.
More and more, I mean, obviously, I'm preaching the choir here because you're a musician. This is your craft. For me, who likes listening to music and, you know, appreciates different forms of music, different things are added into a song, right? And I'm always just curious about, like, kind of like the creative process for each song or each album you have, but also too, like, adding certain things in, not just instruments, not just lyrics, but the way things are said, the way you put in, maybe like when I say a sound effect that, you know, it of course is an instrument, but it almost
right.
sounds like a sound effect. Like, how do you, like, I'm just, cause like, again, you've had so much success. You have a lot of great songs. Like, talk a little bit about like the different things that like I wouldn't say the hidden things, but the things that people might not think about. Of course, there's the lyrics and the music and the instruments and all that, but there's other things that go into a song, to, like you said, to kind of make it unique. How do you kind of go about doing that?
Well, you've done a very good job, Art, of explaining in what I would say in layman terms. You laid it out there beautifully and gave me a nice little backdrop to say these things I'm about to say. What you're talking about are elements,
okay.
You know, that are different elements. Okay. And that's what I call style, right?
Okay. Yeah.
but what you have to start with, you're always starting with the filet mignon or whatever, you know, you're starting with what's the filet. Okay.
Yeah.
And you have to ask yourself, you know, am I going to use Mexican spices, Argentinian spices? Am I going to make this Indian cuisine? You know, it's the style. But the filet is always there. And I will tell you this, no one on earth buys fluff. They will buy the filet every time. And then I don't care if it's rap. I don't care if it's country, if it's rock, whatever. It has to have the filet. And that filet is a really strong lyric that speaks to them in some way.
Yeah.
And you can go, unpack a rap song or any other song, just put don't want to put anything to it. You will see what that person is trying to say. And it either speaks to you or it doesn't. Now, once you have that, then you can add all these other elements on there or make it abstract. Keep an element out on purpose, you know? And that's when it starts getting fun. But you can't even start that process, or should I say, it's a worthless effort if you don't have the filet first. You got to have it. Then you get to move on. And most producers and singers know this already. So that's the secret, is having the filet first. Then you can go pick off the shelf any spices, and then you can decide what temperature you want it to. You know, you might want it medium, you might want it rare, you might want it well done, but you always want it juicy.
Oh man, Man, again, to use another sport analogy, like I said earlier about, you know, your hard work and ethic and your, you know, your kids want to see that. You just hit that out of the park, man. Home run. I appreciate you sharing that. I like the elements. I love the fact that you used that food analogy. That was spot on, sir. Nice
job. Well, you gave me a lob. You gave me a lob. You threw it up there, man. You threw a little 65-mile-an-hour, you know, fastball for me to get right over the grand slam. Thank you for that, Art.
You bet, man. And I know you said, like, you know, once things get back to, quote unquote, the new normal, whatever that may be, you're saying, like, you know, it's going back to a restaurant. Talk a little bit about, like, I'm always curious when, you know, whether it's an athlete, actor, musician, when they're in their element, right? Again, use that a different form of the word element. But talk about, and I hate to bring this up because obviously you're not touring just with, you know, the pandemic and all that stuff. But what is it like to perform in front of a crowd and you hear them singing songs right back to you?
Well, let me bring it right back to your sports analogy. There's a reason why home field advantage matters. You know, if you look on any given Sunday, you know, the home team, if you just bet the home team the whole season, you'll come out ahead. Just pick the home team. And why is that? You know, why do they call, you know, the crowd the 12th man or stuff like that?
Yeah.
There is an energy, you know, among human beings. We're herd animals, first of all, and we feel safest when we're in our herd, and we feel connected to our herd. And when you get the herd excited, and you're the herd leader, you know, if you're the one running the ball, you're the one catching the ball, or you're the one on stage, and you're the herd leader,
yeah,
and that crowd's excited, you realize that they're looking to you for leadership, right?
Yeah.
And that's a monstrous responsibility. And, you know, celebrity is a dangerous thing, you know, but it also can be a great thing. And so there, you know, I try to tell younger artists sometime that, you know, either open up for us or ask me for advice. You know, I've had, you know, we've had some big crowds and I would see a younger artist come out there, you know, and they couldn't get the response from the crowd that they wanted immediately, you know, and they start getting upset and they start getting louder and they start trying to get the crowd fired up by yelling at them saying, come on, loud, you know. And I just said, this was my advice one time. I said, I learned this the hard way, and I did. He said, you have to look at the audience like an elephant. You don't hurry an elephant. You coax an elephant. And then you get that elephant moving, and when you get that elephant moving in the right direction, then you get them running, and I said, nothing can stop them. But, you know, and I'm sorry to use all these analogies.
They're great, though. They're great, man. Especially think about it, too. Like, as parents, as fathers, we use analogies to explain things to our kids. So, again, creating music, all of the things you said, like the filet mignon thing. And then this analogy is so perfect because you're bringing it into a perspective that me and some of my audience members who aren't into music or maybe like fully into music like you are might not understand. It's like, oh, sweet. Like, we are getting it now because of the way you're explaining it, man. So I love it.
Thinking of getting music, you know, some people wonder, you know, why do some songs work and why do they not work even when you have great songwriters? And, man, there's a melody, you know, that lives in every one of us. And we all have, and this is true, what I'm going to say here, we all have a tuning fork, right? Mm. And inside our bodies, you got a tuning fork. And we want that tuning fork to be vibrating in sync with a good melody or rhythm. And when something hits that tuning fork the wrong way, it turns us off, and that's when you skip. That's when you're on Spotify and you skip. I mean, that's where the skips come from, okay? And so everyone has it. And, you know, I hear people all the time say, I have no talent. I can't sing. I can't do it. Everybody has it, by the way. It's just the people who are, and there's no age limit on it, by the way. I'm going to say this. If you're listening and you've always dreamed of playing an instrument, go do it. I'm serious. No, I don't care if you're 50, 60, 70, even 80, go do it. And you will find that you can do it. We're all made for music. We're all of us. We all understand it. If you have that tuning fork inside of you. And what's beautiful is you might not know how to do it right, but you're always going to recognize what's wrong.
Yeah.
And that's important too. You know, my kids are listening to this interview You know, I want them to understand that they're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, and my kids are the worst at, if they make a mistake, they just hate it. You know, but that's how you learn.
Yeah.
You know that, and you're never going to do it right. You know, that athlete that, you know, that can throw the ball, you know, 55 or 60 yards in the air. I promise you, the first time he picked it up, he didn't throw it 55 or 60 yards. You know,
yeah.
He probably threw it about 5. I'm just saying, you say you might have an audience that isn't necessarily, you know, musically inclined or even listens to music. But we all have rhythm. You couldn't walk down the street and chew gum at the same time. You didn't have rhythm.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And while your kids are listening to this too, man, one of the things that my oldest, I have two daughters, 12 and going to be 10 this month. We were talking about my oldest. She had her first middle school, like she was in sixth grade. And one of her teachers said, like, hey, if you fail, it's all right. Because if you look at it, failing is your first attempt in learning, right? So don't worry about that. And it stuck with her. I mean, she's gets great grades, but like, if there's something that, you know, like, I think all kids, they get very frustrated too, like you were mentioning, but like, I love that acronym where it's like first attempt in learning, fail. So it's, I love it.
How about,
man,
Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
How about Michael Jordan? How about the fact that he got cut?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, he got cut. He couldn't believe it. He's sitting here thinking to himself, I am the greatest. Why can't they see that I'm the greatest? Yeah. You know? And then what did he do? He went back in there and proved he was the greatest of all time. I love stories like that. They're great. And music, to me, I get to see how it moves people's lives. And, you know, I've never recorded a song that I didn't have something in common with.
Mm.
And I think that's been the key to the success that I've had in life is, you know, there's an old saying, I think it came from Shakespeare, and I'm probably going to misquote it, but it's something like, first, you know, unto thy own self be true.
Yeah.
And meaning be true with who you are. And I'll say this, people know when you're lying. It offsets that tuning fork that is in people. And, you know, to anybody, no matter what you're doing, you know, I have seen people, and I want my kids to know this too. I've seen people choose occupations and careers based either on money, that they wanted to make money, or somebody else wanted them to do it.
Yeah.
And they always end up miserable, and always, you know. And a good friend of mine, Jackie Burke from Champions Golf Course, he's 95, I think now. I was on the golf course hitting balls, and he said something to me that I'll never forget it. He said, he goes, you must really love what you do. And I said, I do, Mr. Burke. And he said, you never did it for the money, did you? I whipped my head around and I said, no, sir, how do you know that? He said, because people that chase money end up broke. He said, people that chase their passion end up rich.
Wow, so good right there. So good. And you know what? That leads to my last question before the Fatherhood Quick Five. People follow you on, you know, Instagram or Twitter at Clay Walker or Facebook. And of course, you can go to claywalker.com for more on Clay and his music and all that good stuff. But they know that you love golf, man. And I've seen you have some great pairings. So talk about, this is like a two-part question. Favorite golf course and in the top three people you would love to play with, whether you've played with them before or you haven't yet. Favorite golf course and the top three people you'd love to do a foursome with.
My favorite golf course is Pebble Beach.
Mm.
I've played Augusta, I've played Cypress, I've played Shinnecock. I've played some of the greatest golf courses in the world, fortunately, because I just have had that opportunity.
Yeah.
As far as foursomes go, if I could set up my dream foursome, it would be Ben Hogan,
nice.
Tiger Woods, me, and probably Bobby Jones.
Nice.
I would just love to play with those guys. And everybody, I know I'd lose, obviously, but I'd love to see somebody play with the exact same equipment.
Yeah.
Right? You got to go out there. You got to play with that. That's the rules. You got to play with that. But I would bet you, I would just love to listen to Hogan after he saw Tiger, you know, hit it by him about 75 yards. But then I'd love to hear Tiger say, man, this guy's like a pit bull. When he grabs a hold of it, he ain't letting go of it.
Yeah.
I think that's what. And then, of course, Bobby Jones, you know, Mr. Amateur, you know, he never wanted to ruin his spirit of golf by becoming a pro. Man, what can you say about that?
Yeah, so good. So thank you very much for sharing that. I really appreciate that answer. And now I've got the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie right now in the household is what?
Parent Trap.
Nice. Old, like the 1960 version or like the one with Lindsay Lohan?
Dennis Quaid with
Dennis
Lindsay
Quaid?
Lohan.
Nice. All right, sweet. Yeah, nice. Favorite family song you guys like to sing or dance to? Or to make it even easier, is there an artist you couldn't wait to share with your kids?
Well, there's two songs in my house that the kids love, and it's one of them's mine, If I Could Make a Living Out of Loving You. All the kids like to sing that really loud. And then
nice.
My son Eli loves the Macarena. He's seven. he's got the moves too, man.
Nice. Love it. Again, we were talking about just like, you know, going to restaurants, all this stuff. And once people are allowed to go back into the world, describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Well, we love the beach. You know, we went to the Bahamas back in March, back in February, just before the corona hit here.
Yeah.
And, man, enjoying those times, you know, when the cell phone doesn't work and you're afraid you're going to get salt on it anyway. So it's just you and the family, nothing else. And that's just it. It's just chill.
Nice, man. Great answer. All right. First album you purchased, do you remember?
Yeah, first album I bought was Lionel Richie and the Commodores.
Nice.
That's still one of my favorite of all time. Yeah. Lionel Richie's probably my favorite. He is my favorite artist of all time.
Very cool. Thanks for sharing that. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad would be what?
Fun, gentle, and loving.
Nice. Great three words right there. People, make sure you follow Clay on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, it's @ClayWalker. Instagram, it's @OfficialClayWalker. And go to claywalker.com for everything on Clay. I really appreciate you taking the time. You know, you're living the dad life right now, taking your kids to where they need to go. But I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me about fatherhood and all that good stuff. And I wish you continued success in the future, sir.
Well, listen, you're great. You know, and I've got three sons. And the daughter and my 10-year-old daughter is giving me the evil eye right now because we're 5 minutes late for the welcome. But look,
8:35.
Okay, 8:35. All right, thank you so much. This has been great.
All right, you take care, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Art Eddie.
All right, bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.